NASA has launched a mission to deliberately smash a spacecraft into an asteroid. This is now meant to be a test run should humanity ever need to stop a giant space rock from wiping out life on Earth. To tell us more and to explain this to us, we have Jerome Huster, chairman of the Astronomical Society of Southern Africa, and he's from the Johannesburg Center. Jerome, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Yeah, good morning to you. Yes, okay.
So it's called the DART probe, right? Is that what this mission is all about?
Yes. The acronym DART stands for Double Asteroid Redirection Test. It was originally, there was another project which was designed by the European Space Agency in 2015, but that was cancelled, which was also pretty much exactly the same as this one, although the technology that was going to be used then was not nearly as sophisticated as now.
So how is this going to work in layman's terms, if you can explain to us?
Right. So what happens here is the spacecraft actually consists of two objects. There's the DART, which is the spacecraft that's going to actually crash into the asteroid itself. And then there's another little CubeSat, which is a tiny, tiny little satellite, which is only 600 by, I think it's 400 by 400 millimeters in size. It carries two cameras on it. The cameras are named Luke and Leia after the Star Wars characters. And this little CubeSat will observe the impact that takes place when DART crashes into the asteroid. Now, this asteroid, Didymus, is in fact a binary asteroid, and the word Didymus in Greek means twin. And the little the planet, or at least the moon, Didymos b, or Dimorphos, and the name Dimorphos comes from the idea that the orbit of this little asteroidal moon will be changed. So Dimorphos means having two forms in Greek, which is quite cool. So the DART is going to crash into Dimorphos, which is about 160 meters in diameter. But what's going to happen there is the speed of the moon orbiting the larger body will slow down somewhat, very slightly. And when I say slightly, I mean very, very slightly. By about half a millimeter per second. And over time, what will happen is this speed reduction will increase and increase and increase as the asteroid moves over many millions of kilometers, which in effect then means that the orbit of that asteroid has been changed considerably. So that's basically what the mission is.
Sounds very interesting. I see one concerned space enthusiast tweeted that what happens now if this spacecraft crashes into this asteroid called Didymos and changes its trajectory, and then it ends up hitting a life-containing planet, resulting in mass extinction there.
Yeah, that's a very interesting concept. One must just also remember that our solar system is extremely distant from any other solar system that may contain a life carrying planet. I think that one must accept the fact that if this asteroid does get bumped clean out of its orbit and it goes off in the direction of our nearest neighboring star, Proxima Centauri, it's going to take millions of years for it to get there. If the next star out, which may have life, would take even many, many more millions of years for it to reach there. So I don't think that we should lose too much sleep over something like that.
So will this be able to be witnessed, I mean, via telescope or some technology, this spacecraft knocking into this asteroid? Will you know, the average people who are not part of NASA have access to these visuals?
Yes. The The whole project was designed around the positioning of the asteroid relative to the Earth. So the impact will take place next year on about 26 September, and this is when Didymos is closest to Earth. Although it does cross the Earth's orbit, it is not near to the Earth at that time, in relatively near. It's a couple of million kilometers away. But what we will see with very, very, very large telescopes, and this is not the kind of thing you'll be able to do from your backyard, we will use very large telescopes to observe the flash or the increase in brightness as the satellite crashes into the surface of the asteroid. There is, as I said, there's also the CubeSat that is traveling alongside, which will be released a little bit, I think it's 10 days or so before impact. The CubeSats will be released, and they will start monitoring the positions of the satellites, and then get a very clear view of the impact and then also the debris that remains after the impact. But yeah, you'll need some very serious professional telescopes, such as the Keck telescopes in Hawaii, and that kind of class of telescope to see it.
So this is now, this clash or this smash is likely to take place only next year. Why isn't there much fanfare in the mainstream media, like when Elon Musk's car went into space or Alex Baumgartner's jumped from space?
I suppose within the scientific community, there's a big hoo-ha, but because it is a demonstrator mission more than just crashing into the asteroid itself, there are a whole lot of projects that are taking place all at the same time during this mission. Of course, we do know that the sponsors of the Baumgartner high-altitude jump also a sponsor of Formula One racing team. There's a lot of money involved in that, of course, and we also know that as far as the SpaceX launch of Elon Musk's motor vehicle was an advert as kind of advertising for the motor vehicle itself. So they were product orientated. Where this, I suppose if one looks at, say, Virgin Galactic, Virgin Galactic is obviously a product that gets sold to the public, and they splashed all over their logos are splashed all over their spacecraft. Very different for true scientific missions. Hmm. But one day we will have things like soft drinks and beer and what have you sponsoring these projects. Why there isn't such a fanfare.
Finally, is this really about science and, you know, exploring the prospects of one day having to stop an asteroid hitting Earth, or is it more about politics? There are those who claim that it's basically the U.S. wanting to show China and Russia that they're still a big player in the space game.
Yeah, that's a. There is, I suppose, a tiny smidgen of political gain, but I would say this is really, it's a scientific mission. China, in fact, is sending another mission next year to do pretty much the same thing. So, yeah, it's a case that this has to do with planetary defense. And I think one must look at it from the perspective that everybody's on this one tiny little planet orbiting our sun. And if there's an existential threat, such as an asteroid that's going to crash into the Earth at some point, we all need to work together to mitigate that.
Yeah.
So I would say that all the countries, and certainly all the space agencies from around the world, are really working hand in hand. We do know that Russia has got a little bit of antagonism towards NASA at the moment, well, in particular SpaceX, regarding the internet project, which is running at the moment, because they believe that's got military applications. But As far as these scientific missions are concerned, no, everybody works together. In 5 years' time, the European Space Agency, the Italian Space Agency, and the Japanese Space Agency will be sending another spacecraft to this very same asteroid to do follow-up observations of what, in fact, happened and how much the Didymos B, or Dimorphos, has slowed down in changed its orbit.
Yeah.
So it's a very long-term project. It spans many, many years.
All right, Tom. Thank you so much for
your time. So, no, I don't think it's all political at all.
Absolutely. All right, thank you for your time. It's fascinating talking about this.
It's a pleasure.